Welcome to the first episode of the Pop Culture Abstract Podcast. My name is Jay, and I wanted to start this podcast to talk about things that interest me in pop culture, sports, movies, music, comic books, a little bit of everything. So for the first episode, since the MLB playoffs are starting tonight, I thought I would talk to someone with a little bit of a baseball background. So I got Justin Birnbaum. He's the owner of Base Knock MLB, and he writes for Baseball Prospectus for the New York Mets. We talk MLB playoffs, and a little bit at the end about what the Mets might do this offseason. She says you always smell like cigarettes. And there's always whiskey on your breath. So, first off, what's your background in baseball?
Well, I've written for Amazing Avenue, which is SB Nation's affiliate site for the New York Mets. I've written for Last Word on Sports and Last Word on Baseball. I'm the managing editor at Base Knock MLB, a company I founded where we cover Major League Baseball. And I also write for Baseball Prospectus Mets and now Elite Sports New York.
Wow, it's quite a resume you got.
Yes, thank you. I've been getting a lot of reps here.
Yeah. All right, so tonight we start out with the Yankees and Twins in the wild card play-in game, I guess. So who are you favoring in this game?
Well, I think the Yankees are the clear favorite, although I am rooting for the Twins as the underdog. I know that Irvin Santana, the Yankees aren't his ideal matchup. He's actually 0-5 at Yankee Stadium. He gave an interview before the game today where he said he didn't think that was a problem, that he'd go out and get win number one tonight. But ultimately, the Yankees have a Cy Young contender on the mound. They have, you know, possibly the league MVP and Rookie of the Year in their lineup. And Yankee Stadium is just a place that's very conducive to their style of play. They like to hit the ball out of the park and score a lot of runs and shut teams out on the mound. So it would be hard to see any other outcome than the Yankees winning tonight.
Yeah, I completely agree. And their bullpen's been pretty good throughout the season.
Yeah, they have, you know, a tricky back end of the bullpen in Conley, who they acquired from the White Sox. They have Chapman, Betances. You know, the Yankees are a very formidable American League squad. And what's funny is that they were meant to be in a rebuild, and they just ended up being good. So they were able to pivot and turn themselves into a contender. And now, you know, they may not be on the talent level that a Cleveland or Boston is, but they're definitely capable of going out there and, you know, winning a couple games in the playoffs.
So the winner of this game is probably going to have the clear favorite in the AL with the Indians. I don't see either one of them getting past the Indians. What about you?
I mean, obviously the Indians are a great ball club. It's hard to really imagine any weaknesses on their part. You know, they won 22 games in a row. They set the modern Major League record. I think the Yankees could do it just because the Yankees are good at home. I don't think the Twins have really any shot of upsetting the Cleveland Indians if they were advanced. The Twins are, you know, I don't want to call it a fluke, but, you know, they're barely here and they're a young team, and I don't think they have the pitching and offense to really carry them all the way there. Yeah. Cleveland is the odds-on favorite. You know, it's tough to really picture any outcome where they don't go to the World Series. Their starting pitching is just so deep, and they have multiple MVP candidates on the roster. So Cleveland, you know, I would be really surprised if Cleveland didn't repeat winning the AL pennant.
Yeah, and I think their chances are a lot better this year in the World Series than they were last year.
Well, yeah, their roster is definitely in a lot better shape. You know, adding Encarnacion and Kluber and Carrasco are on a whole nother level. And the back end of their starting rotation is, you know, really performing at a high level. So you're talking about having four starters that can go out and potentially dominate a game. And when you have that in playoff series, it gives you a pretty strong advantage. Plus, you know, Francisco Lindor is a year older and a year better, and you can't ignore the breakout of Jose Ramirez, who has turned into a bona fide superstar. And the fact that he's such a versatile player and can play almost anywhere on the field makes him even more valuable for that team.
So then the other AL matchup will be the Red Sox and the Astros. What are your thoughts on that series?
I like Boston. Boston is a team that has a lot of playoff experience over the last decade or so. You know, they've lost probably their most crucial postseason player in David Ortiz, but they still have players on that roster that are proven and can perform. I really like Xander Bogaerts in the playoffs, and Chris Sale has a monkey to get off his back after, you know, Boston didn't exactly come out to play for him in the beginning of the season. So I think Boston kind of has a chip on their shoulder. And don't get me wrong, Houston is an excellently constructed team with a lot of talent on the roster, but there are not a lot of guys who have been deep in the playoffs the way Boston has.
Yeah, and the way they kind of fell off in September makes you a little worried about the Astros as well.
I mean, the Astros will come out, and I don't think they'll get swept. But, you know, Boston is just such an experienced team. You know, they've been there before. They, you know, they've won three titles in the last decade. It's kind of hard to picture Houston taking the next step, especially, you know, they were, like you said, they were cold in September, and their pitching can kind of be a little inconsistent at times. But adding Justin Verlander helps them. Having players like George Springer, Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, all these guys that contribute at a high level helps. But ultimately, I think Boston's going to be the one going on to the ALCS.
Yeah, matching up Sale against Verlander is going to be an interesting game one. But I think Sale definitely has the advantage there.
Well, he's been a model of consistency in baseball over the season. You know, he's my vote for the American League Cy Young. Some people give it to Kluber. I give it to Sale. But Sale is just on another level, and he hasn't really had many opportunities to pitch in the postseason, and I don't think he's the kind of player that would really waste that opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. So if we were to see the Red Sox against the Yankees, would that be one of the greatest AL championships in recent memory?
I mean, it'd be an interesting callback to the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry, you know, of, you know, the early 2000s and mid-2000s. But I don't think it would carry the same weight just because, you know, the players have turned over so much since then. You know, Big Poppy's no longer around. Derek Jeter's no longer around. And there's not as much bad blood between these teams as people like to make it out to be. I mean, we saw during their matchups this year, they played some pretty competitive games. And you know, the rivalry was renewed to a degree. Maybe, you know, an ALCS between the Red Sox and the Yankees is what could really breathe life into that. But ultimately, on paper, Boston's still a much better team. Boston has the pitching. Boston has the offense. And Boston would be my pick to go to the World Series if it came down to them and the Yankees.
So then the Red Sox and the Indians are pretty evenly matched, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think Cleveland's offense is a little deeper. And I think that the back end of Cleveland's rotation is you know, a little stronger than Boston. But Boston is an experienced team, not to discount Cleveland's experience winning a pennant. But, you know, several guys on this Boston team have won a title. Boston has a lot of talent. And it could go either way. It's really tough to call between Boston and Cleveland because you're going to get, you know, an insane matchup like Kluber versus Sale. And that's the kind of thing that could go either way, and winning that game one could decide the entire series.
Yeah, I agree with that. Do you think this is a matchup we could see for a few years in the playoffs, in the championship series?
I definitely think that Boston, Cleveland, and Houston are all built to last. You know, they've got the right mix of young players and veterans. And, you know, you look at Boston, their pitching is under contract for a while with Chris Sale. I believe he's got two more years after this. David Price is under contract for a while. And Cleveland has a good young core of players together. You know, they have Jose Ramirez, Francisco Lindor, Edwin Encarnacion is under contract for at least another year. And if they're able to keep their pitching staff sustained, then they'll be back for years to come. Same thing goes for Houston. You know, they have the right mix of young players and veterans. And if they're able to keep supplementing that with acquiring players, you know, at the trade deadline and the offseason, then these are three teams that we should see over the next 5 years as repeat offenders in the playoffs.
So then jumping to the NL side, the play-in game is going to be the Rockies and the Diamondbacks. Who do you got there?
I like the Diamondbacks just because Zach Greinke is, you know, a very formidable player. Anybody in that Diamondbacks pitching staff is pretty impressive. They have four guys that are able to go out there and strike out 12 guys a game. And I think that's an unparalleled thing that they have over almost any team in the National League. Their offense is very strong. Paul Goldschmidt's an MVP candidate. And, you know, acquiring J.D. Martinez at the deadline really strengthened their lineup, giving them a very strong 1-2 punch. Not to discount the Rockies, but the Rockies aren't playing at Coors Field, and I think that tends to hurt them sometimes. The Rockies' pitching is also on the younger side and a little less experienced while talented. So I don't think the Rockies are going to do it. You know, I was surprised to see them make the playoffs. You know, early on, one of the writers at Base Knock MLB, Max Rosenfeld, had predicted that the Rockies would be a playoff team, and I had been very skeptical about that. But they proved me wrong, and they made it there. But I just think Arizona is overall a better team and has cemented that they deserve to be there.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to pitching, too, with all the young pitchers in Colorado never really being in the spot before. It'll be interesting to see how they respond to it.
Yeah, I think the home field advantage plays a major part in it as well, because the Rockies are one of those teams that are just very good at home, and Coors Field does have a very significant advantage compared to other places in baseball. It's, you know, a tremendous hitter's park, and the Rockies lineup has always benefited from playing there.
So the winner of that game will face the Dodgers, best team in baseball. I mean, is it obvious that the Dodgers are going to probably go right through into the World Series, or are there too many questions there with their little losing streak back a few weeks ago?
I mean, if you asked me in August, this would have been a no-brainer that the Dodgers were on a freight train headed for the World Series, but they turned into legitimately one of the worst teams in baseball for a couple weeks there, and it's very alarming when you have a team who was on pace to set the wins record in baseball just fall off for almost 3 or 4 weeks like that. Nevertheless, the Dodgers are extremely talented. You know, they have the best pitcher on planet Earth when healthy. They have Cody Bellinger, who's emerged to superstar status, you know, as a rookie after not playing the whole first month of the season. Justin Turner's another MVP candidate. Corey Seager's an MVP candidate. Dodgers are loaded, and the expectations for them ride high. The problem is that in years past, the Dodgers have had loaded teams, and these expectations have fallen too heavy on them. Take when the Mets beat them in 2015 and ended up going on to the World Series. The Dodgers, you know, had Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw pitching four of those five games, yet the Mets won the series. So it's not out of the realm of possibility. It would have been kind of a no-brainer if the Dodgers didn't slump, but the Diamondbacks would have to really play above their means to take the Dodgers down in a five-game series.
So do you think there's still concerns with Kershaw and his health and his decreased velocity? Could that impact the series?
I'm not so much worried about the velocity as I am about the chronic back issues. You know, in 2016, he was having probably the best season of his career, and he was only limited to 149 innings due to back issues. And then the same thing creeped back up in 2017. And he missed less time, but it's probably going to kick him out of the Cy Young Award running. And back issues are just, they're very temperamental and unpredictable. And he could go out there and throw 3 or 4 innings and just have a back flare up and have to leave a game. So the Dodgers have a good bullpen, but ultimately the Dodgers are who they are because they have the best pitcher on planet Earth. So Kershaw needs to be healthy for them to have a successful playoff run.
And he needs to be a little more successful than he's been the past few years in the playoffs. I know the Cardinals have knocked him around the couple years before when they played them.
Yeah, you know, traditionally that was a knock on Kershaw early on in his career, but, you know, you check the numbers gradually as he's gotten older, and he's become more and more impressive in the playoffs. You look back to the Mets series, and that's something I'm very familiar with just because, you know, I've covered the Mets, but, you know, he was effective in the Mets series. The Mets didn't necessarily get all over him. It was just a matter of the Mets put out better starting pitching, and when you put out a great starting pitching effort, even if your starter posts, you know, 1 or 2 runs, it's still not enough.
Right. All right, well, we'll move on. I think the Cubs and the Nats series will be very interesting, and I think one of these teams could really surprise the Dodgers.
You know, Washington's a very interesting case because they're another loaded team, but they have the weight of failure on their back. Washington's never won a postseason series, and they've gone to the postseason quite a few times now. And when you have a roster full of Bryce Harper, Daniel Murphy, Max Scherzer, Steven Strasburg, and more, you really need to put it together. Now, I think that they're definitely in a better position than the Cubs this year, as long as Bryce Harper is healthy. But the Cubs have 2 years of playoff experience and a World Series championship in their corner. And that's going to make them pretty deadly in the playoffs, because one thing we always see is that teams who have faltered in the regular season that end up making the postseason tend to fall back into their old ways when they make the postseason. And I think that was pretty well demonstrated by the San Francisco Giants. You know, they teetered on being a playoff team and a non-playoff team, you know, on and off for 5 years. But whenever they reached the playoffs in 2010, 2012, 2014, they were just able to turn it on and put together a mini dynasty there.
Yeah, and the Cubs have to like the fact that Scherzer left his last start early and could potentially be not at 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky because they're calling it a day-to-day hamstring injury, so you don't really know what's really going on there. But at the same time, Max Scherzer's a bulldog. He's grinded out injuries before. He's always, you know, been able to put up high innings totals. So I wouldn't count too much on Max Scherzer being out, because even if he is a little injured, I'm sure he'll go out there and gut it out. But at the same time, if you're the Cubs, you know, you'll take anything you can at this point, because Max Scherzer is probably the equivalent to Clayton Kershaw for the Nationals. You know, Clayton Kershaw didn't exist, Max Scherzer would be the best pitcher on planet Earth. They have Steven Strasburg too, but Strasburg isn't on the level of dominance that Scherzer is.
Yeah, but he's a pretty good number two starter to have.
Yeah, you know, it's 1A and 1B at this point.
Yeah. So who do you got in the series then?
I'm taking the Nats. I mean, there's room for them to leave me disappointed, because Chicago has playoff experience. They're coming off a World Series victory. And like I said, teams fall into old habits coming to October. But I think we finally reached the point where the Nationals are too good to not win a playoff series.
So then if it got to the Nats and the Dodgers, who would you take?
Well, it comes down to the respective health of Clayton Kershaw, Max Scherzer, and Bryce Harper. Clayton Kershaw's healthy, all things aside. I think the Dodgers are the better team there, and I think they'll go on to the World Series. If Kershaw is not at 100% and the Nationals do have some injury luck, then I think the Nationals will be the favorite in that spot.
So then you'd potentially have a Dodger-Indian World Series. That's pretty much what the consensus is coming into it. Who do you have there?
I mean, you don't always want to go with the consensus favorites, but you're talking about two teams that have looked so good all season and are so deep, you know, in terms of pitching and offense, that it's very hard to imagine either one of them not getting there. So in the event that that is the World Series, I would probably take Cleveland. I think playing in the World Series to 7 games last year has given them an edge, you know, kind of keeping them hungry for it. And I think that their depth and their starting rotation and the way their offense has really come together over the last month just makes them, you know, a hot, powerful team that it would take a lot to stop at this point.
So how big is home field going to be for the World Series, since it's not tied to the All-Star game anymore?
Well, you know, you look at last year and the Cubs fell behind 3-1 and then had to play a game 7 in Cleveland, and the Cubs were still able to grind it out. So I don't know how much home field is going to come between two powerhouse teams like that. I think it's more going to come down to pitching. You know, I've expressed concerns about Kershaw multiple times already since we've started speaking. So Cleveland definitely has the edge in the rotation, because they have 4 guys who can go out there and put forth a really great effort. And in a 7-game series, you know, it's a luxury to have your number one starter come back 3 times, but it's not always realistic, especially with, you know, the durability of pitchers today. So I think Cleveland's got the edge. I think the starting pitching, you know, outweighs, you know, the equivalence of Los Angeles and Cleveland's offenses. So my pick would be Cleveland, and I think that home field won't play much of a role.
Yeah, and the other thing about that series would be the two powerhouse bullpens, that you could have a starter go 4 or 5 innings and it wouldn't impact you too much, because you can pretty much interchange any bullpen piece there.
Yeah, you know, Terry Francona is the one who really invented this fireman approach, using his best relievers at different times during the game, deploying Andrew Miller whenever the game dictates. So Andrew Miller is probably the first or second best reliever in the American League right now. And as we saw in the playoffs last year, he was extremely effective and went a long way in making Cleveland who they were in the playoffs last year. Not to discount the Dodgers, whose bullpen is led by Kenley Jansen, who is probably the best reliever in the National League. So if Dave Roberts decides to adopt Terry Francona's style, then, you know, we have sort of a stalemate in terms of bullpen effectiveness.
So the Indians always could turn back to Cody Allen to close. Who would the Dodgers turn to in that situation if they used Jansen earlier in a game?
It's tough, you know. You'd have to assume that it would be a closer by committee situation. You know, Kenley Jansen is arguably one of the best relievers in baseball. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball. He led the National League in ERA, and he's probably going to win the Reliever of the Year award. So if he's not there, then you gotta look at other guys like Cingrani, Fields, Morrow. All these guys are effective. Baez, Stripling, McCarthy, some of these guys are starters, you know, so they have length to them. So they can be utilized in very different ways. So that's kind of why I say by committee, because after Jansen, you don't really have a definitive guy who you would want to close games. It would kind of be more of a touch and feel situation for Dave Roberts.
So back to the home field thing real quick. Are you glad that they don't tie that to the All-Star game anymore?
You know, it's an interesting thing because I like the All-Star game having meaning. But at the same time, I feel that you shouldn't shift such an advantage because the All-Star game essentially has no direct impact on the World Series. You know, you could have 25 players in the All-Star game who aren't even setting foot in the postseason.
Right.
So it seems kind of like wasted motion out there. So I'm not disappointed that the All-Star game isn't tied to the World Series anymore. I just personally wish that the All-Star game would have some other meaning to it, or maybe even be played at a different time.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, a little off topic, but you're a Mets guy. What are they looking to do this offseason, you think?
Well, that's an interesting question. I know that there's already been major shakeups in the front office. Terry Collins is no longer the manager and is taking a player development role. Their coaching staff, Dan Worthen, is being offered a different role in the organization. And to the delight of many Mets fans, they got rid of Ray Ramirez and they're finally shuffling their medical department. So hopefully that makes an impact in terms of whether the team, you know, deals with as many injuries in the next few years, because just watching what this team has went through has been atrocious over the last couple of years. I definitely think the Mets need to acquire an outfield bat in the offseason. Michael Conforto has shown us that he could play a serviceable center field, but at the same time, even if they didn't want to use him in center field, his shoulder injury has left a lot of doubt about when he's going to return and how effective he can be. I didn't like when they acquired Jay Bruce, but his effort in 2017 really endeared him to me, and I was sad to see him end up on Cleveland. But he is a free agent at the end of the year, and I think that a reunion with the Mets would give them a legitimate power bat in their lineup. You know, he hit 30 home runs or 29 home runs as a Met this year and drove in 75 runs batted in a lineup that was completely decimated. And when you pair him with a player like Cespedes, then, you know, you've got the makings of a pretty legitimate major league lineup. Going along with that, I think you're going to have to add a starter just because you don't really know what you have in Matt Harvey or Zach Wheeler anymore. And I'm extremely opposed to the idea of starting Rafael Montero that many times in 2018. And then you got to look to add to the bullpen. You know, we shipped off Addison Reed indirectly in exchange for A.J. Ramos, but the bullpen is still filled with a lot of unproven pieces. Now that Familia seems to be struggling, the Mets really need to upgrade that area because the bullpen has always been a culprit in taking down the Mets.
So Matt Harvey was a pretty interesting topic throughout the season. Are you wanting him to be tendered a contract, or would you rather see him just cut ties and maybe use that money someplace else?
Well, because of the going rate of starting pitching, I feel that having him tendered a contract is, you know, a win-win situation. You know, the Mets are getting him at a value that is consummate to his effectiveness. You know, mediocre starting pitchers make $10 million a year these days. It's kind of ludicrous when you think about it, but you can't argue with the way the market is. So I'd like to see him come back, and I'd like to see if he has anything left in the tank. But probably after 2018, unless he, you know, pulls together this unbelievable Cy Young type season, I don't think the Mets should really invest in him long term. I think they're better served in investing the money in Jacob deGrom and Noah Syndergaard. And in a lot of ways, you know, this has answered a lot of questions for them, because when the Mets had the five-ace rotation, people were thinking down the road, and how are they going to keep all these guys together? You know, where would the money come for all this? We're talking about five guys who could potentially be $20 million pitchers. Now it really seems that the talent lies with DeGrom and Syndergaard. So I would like to see them, you know, use money to lock up DeGrom in his free agent years at a premium price, and then start talking about the future with Noah Syndergaard, because, like I said, Matt Harvey and Zach Wheeler are kind of, you know, beaten down by injuries, and Steven Matz, we're still trying to understand what he's going to be as a major league pitcher.
So, last question: who would be your pick for the new manager?
Well, it's a shame that they're not connected to Wally Backman anymore, because he was always one of my favorites when he was managing the Mets AAA affiliate. A lot of people are saying Alex Cora is going to be the guy. A lot of people are saying Kevin Long. I like Robin Ventura. I think he did, you know, a pretty good job in Chicago, given, you know, what he had at his disposal. I think that he was never really given too much talent to work with, and I always believe in bringing in managers who have former ties with the organization. Robin Ventura had some pretty good years as a Met, and he cemented in some of the best moments in Met history. So my pick for manager would probably be Robin Ventura.
He'd be a solid pick. As a Cardinal fan, having them bring in Mike Matheny with no experience, I'd much rather have somebody that knows what they're doing.
Yeah. You know, the thing about Matheny his contract's up after this year, right? So he may not end up with the Cardinals again.
Actually, they extended him before the season, so he's got three more years.
My mistake. The Mets had, I think it was Jared Diamond from the Wall Street Journal who had reported that the Mets were interested in someone like Matheny for their organization. But Matheny is a unique fit because he's not the textbook kind of sabermetrics guy that the Mets want to bring in. I think that Robin Ventura is a nice blend of traditional versus, you know, kind of new wave thinking. But there are other guys out there who qualify in that way as well. So I know Brad Ausmus is probably not going to be Detroit's manager anymore in a few weeks, so he may be somebody to look at for the Mets. But the Mets should really go in the direction of someone who has experience as opposed to a first-time guy like Alex Cora or Kevin Long. I think they're better off someone stewarding this ship that knows what they're doing, just because the Mets, at the end of the day, want to contend in 2018. And that's the goal here.
All right. Well, do you want to plug your website real quick?
Yeah. You know, baseball fans, anybody who likes following the league, baseknockmlb.com. We have a lot of great stuff going up on there, usually three or four times a week. We have a podcast hosted by our own Max Rosenfeld, the Payoff Pitch Podcast. So check it out. You know, you can follow us on Twitter, baseknockmlb, or me on Twitter at Bernie53. And thank you for having me on the show today. I appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem. I'd like to thank Justin again for joining me today. You can check popcultureabstract.com for my writing, more of my podcasts. This week's music is by the band Foxing. This is their song, The Medic.